Yeah, bring to order the House Committee on Veterans Affairs on April 12th. And first, we're going to skip around a little bit on this agenda, folks. We have Representative Garrard here, and that is on House Bill 3208. So I'll open up a work session on 3208 and invite testimony only. Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, Co-Chairs, member of the committee. As you recall, we had our public hearing. We merged House Bill 3583 with 3208. We have since had 3208 amended with the dash sixes, which I believe Jill has copies of, which eliminates the funding requirements and, I believe, any financial requirements involved in the bill. As you may recall, this was a bill to authorize the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs to conduct a study to determine the needs of veteran services in regards to veteran homes and the possibility of reopening up an RFP at some later date at the discretion of the Veterans Department. So all we did basically with the dash sixes is take out all the financial requirements that were involved.
Does everyone have their dash six amendment?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Representative Garrard, did you say that LFO was coming down?
That was my understanding, but we were trying to have them give you an approval that the bill had no since we took all the financials out of it. But we understand that the chamber does have a rule that all bills have to have that designation. So I don't know what the committee can do. If you can't move it out in a work session, then you're going to have to, I guess, wait for a financial and try it again.
Well, what we'll do, if it's okay with you, Representative Garrard, we'll hold it over until next week and run it out on a work session. And I'm sorry that LFO didn't come down.
Well, I appreciate Ms. Petty's work on my behalf in getting the dash sixes. Those were my fault that it took so many amendments just to get the bill in the order which everyone approved of. So I appreciate the chair's comments, and we'll look forward to moving the bill next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Any other... I think that's all with those invited testimony. Okay, I'm going to close the work session on 3208, and I think I will open up a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3209. We have on the sign-up sheet Mac McDonald, Ryan Green, and Amy Joyce. And Amy's neutral. Be our first panel. Why don't you start us off, Mac? You're first on the list.
Matt McDonald, United Veterans of Oregon. We support this bill in that it gives a one-time license plate for those people that are probably the most deserving of all veterans. One in 35 veterans in the United States Air Force sees combat, one in 18 in the Marine Corps, and the other services are in between. This bill will give Medal of Honor recipient a license plate he pays for one time. We have one in the state of Oregon. Gives ex-POWs, we have less than 50, a license plate that, and most of these gentlemen are World War II POWs. So they're getting up in age and probably won't have much of an impact. The Purple Hat recipients already rate the disabled plate, so there's not much of a cost there. It's just a swap of one plate for another. And the Gold Star family of those killed in action. In that, it's for the parent and the unremarried spouse. We had a dash one to it. They took out the spouse, but they didn't take out the dependent and the dash one. It's a good bill. It rewards the most, it rewards those that have been in combat and have given the most for our country. And I recommend it goes forward as written with the two changes, deleting spouse and putting in unremarried spouse, and deleting dependent on lines 20 and 23 of the bill.
Thank you, Mac. Amy, and is this a rose between two thorns, Amy?
You are quite kind, Co-Chair. Co-chairs and members of the committee, my name is Amy Joyce. I'm from the Department of Transportation, representing the Driver and Motor Vehicles Division. Passed out some written testimony, and if I could take just a moment to give you the one-minute version on plates in the state of Oregon, since this impacts that program. So most folks have the standard tree plate. The state of Oregon has three what are called specialty plates. Those are Cultural Trust, Salmon, and Crater Lake, for which folks pay a surcharge to have that special plate. And then there are group plates, which is a another version of a fundraising kind of a plate. And one subgroup under that are veterans plates. There are 29 current veterans groups that are under the group designation and earn money for particular causes through purchase of those plates. XPOWs also are a different sort of set-aside kind of a plate in Oregon. Statutorily, those money generated from those plates are not don't go to any special fund. It's a standard registration fee. And Medal of Honor, also a statutory plate provision in the state of Oregon. Again, a standard registration fee under current law is not a fundraising plate. So that's sort of the background on plates, which kind of informs the discussion going forward. Registration in Oregon, $86 for a set of plates for 2 years. When you buy a new plate, it's $23 a manufacturing fee. And for those groups who are raising money for their particular cause, for veterans groups, the standard amount is $10 per year, 2 year registration. So each time somebody gets that new group plate or renews it, $10 minus a very small administrative fee goes to that group. So that's kind of the background. Under the bill, there are kind of two different things going on. Medal of Honor plate and XPOW plate would remain pretty much the same as they are today, except that the person would have a permanent registration. So under the bill, they'd pay a $15 one-time fee, and that would be it. There would be no renewals of any kind. So there isn't a whole lot to do there. What becomes somewhat more significantly different is for the Gold Star and the Purple Heart folks who currently have made a decision to pay that surcharge so that that group can raise money and get that special plate. There's some difficulty, I would say, in the bill's structure where we struggled somewhat to interpret how we would implement this bill. There were sort of two different ways we could understand this bill. One of them was that there would be sort of two tracks going forward for both Purple Heart and Gold Star families. So a person who, for instance, today has that Gold Star plate could continue to renew their registration every 2 years, pay that surcharge to the group, keep that plate with the insignia on it, and go that route. Or under the new provision, which there's a whole new section under the bill, the person could elect to get the benefit of a permanent registration. So there's a lower fee, no renewal, and no money going to the group for their fundraising cause. And it would be a different kind of a plate. So it would be now on the tree background with a special configuration but without that emblem. So that was one way to interpret it. There were these sort of two tracks possible. But we thought the better interpretation was that really these two groups would sort of convert from a group plate to a permanent registration, so there wouldn't be the option for these folks no option to pay that $10 additional money to as a fundraiser, and the plate would become this permanent registration on the tree background with letters and numbers in a special configuration and without the emblem. So that's how we understand what the bill would be doing. In terms of money, we estimate that the loss to those two groups, Purple Heart and Gold Star, the groups that they raise money for, you're looking at about $12,000 per biennia in loss to their fundraising effort. And because registration fees, plate manufacturing fees, go to the state highway fund, based on the number of folks who have these things, particularly looking at Purple Heart and Gold Star, you're looking at about $135,000 loss to the highway fund per biennia. So those are the impacts to the agency and to the state highway fund, as well as how we would intend to implement the bill.
Thank you, Amy. Ryan?
Mr. Chair.
We're going to hold off on...
Just you have a quick question? $135,000
a biennium.
Just want to make sure on that. Thanks.
$65,000 per year. And that was a $12,000 loss to each organization.
Chair Esquivel,
biennium.
$12,000 between the two of them.
Between
so about
the two.
Five or six.
Total. Yes. Ryan.
Mr. Chair, co-chairs, my name is Ryan Green. I'm representing the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America, and it's 389 members. And I always like to make it clear before I proceed that I am not a veteran, but I do have a lot of the physical ailments that our membership does, and they hired me to speak on their behalf. So moving forward, a lot of our members fall into this, several of our members fall into the categories outlined in this bill, particularly the Purple Heart. Furthermore, 40% of our membership have severe non-service related disabilities, disabilities that such where they can't find employment, so the money saved on the registrations would go to a better use. But we support this bill and ask you to support it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of the panel? None. Okay, thank you. Anyone else would like to testify on 3209, House Bill 3209? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3209. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3611. Could you read the bill, please?
House Bill 3611 requires a person submitting a death certificate to the county register in cases of suicide to make reasonable efforts to determine if the decedent was a veteran and where the decedent served. This has no revenue impact, and we don't have a fiscal yet.
Okay, colleagues, I just wanted to... the reason this came about was from this committee. Remember when we had Director Willis in front of us, and he made a statement that we lost 58,245 KIAs in country in Vietnam? And since March of 1973, we've had over 130,000 suicides with Vietnam veterans. But we didn't know whether those veterans were combat veterans, and if so, when they did serve and what particular time frame. So this is a way that I've talked to General Caldwell a little bit about of how we lose track of what these veterans are doing. And the only way we can recoup that information and that statistical information is to do it on the death certificate when it is a suicide. So that's what started this bill. So, first person up is Jennifer Woodward.
Thank you, Chair Esquivel and Witt, and members of the committee. I greatly appreciate having the opportunity to testify. I did have some prepared testimony. We will be revising it based on the conversation that I just had with Co-Chair Esquivel. I'm Jennifer Woodward, and I'm the State Registrar for Vital Records from the Public Health Authority, Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division. And we're talking a little bit about death certificates today. And to reiterate, the bill is asking that the veteran status be gathered on the death certificate along with the combat status and if the where the individual served as well. And this would be gathered for when the death certificate was due to suicide. Currently, we do collect veteran status on the Oregon death certificate as part of the legal death certificate and the legal certified copy that family members get. And to meet the challenges of this bill, or to meet this bill, we would need to add two items to the death certificate. And as Representative Esquivel mentioned, and Co-Chair Esquivel mentioned, that we would just need to be getting the statistical information. And to do that, we would need to modify our web-based system to do that, to gather that information. And there would be a minimal cost to do that, so it would be a one-time cost to do that, get that information. And that would be to gather the combat status and then where the combat occurred. As we said, we already gathered the veteran's information and the veteran's status. So there would be a one-time cost to do that, to modify our web-based system. And we could do that. It would be challenging to do it by January 1st of 2012. If we needed to do that, we would have to have everything ready to go with our vendor. We have a vendor that does our electronic system to make those changes and have them ready to go by the end of August. But that could be done, but there is a minimal fiscal impact for this. And unfortunately, we don't have the funds to cover that. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Any questions? A little bit. Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else would like to testify on House Bill 3611? Oh, there's General Caldwell. How are you doing today, General?
Good, sir. How are you? Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Brigadier General Mike Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Military Department and the Interim Director of Office of Emergency Management. And I appreciate the opportunity. I apologize for not signing up on that. I got in here a little bit late and got distracted, and I should have signed up, so my apologies. As the rest of the committee, the co-chair Esquivel and I had this conversation, and some of this came out from numerous conversations we've had about referencing the statistical data that we're collecting throughout the military system, but particularly in the National Guard, about. And we do look, when we have a Guard member who we know has committed suicide, whether or not they've been deployed or whether they haven't. And oddly enough, we're seeing that about 40 to 50% of the suicides that we've seen have not been deployed and not been in combat. I don't know what that's telling us, but and I think that's part of what the objective with this bill was when we had this conversation, when Coach R. Esquivel and I did. Department of Health came to me a few years ago, Department of Human Services, excuse me, and they had revealed at the time that they were seeing a high percentage of the suicides in Oregon were veterans. They didn't quite understand that, and they were asking whether or not we had any insight to it, and we don't. And I think it's somewhat of a mystery to a whole lot of us, and I think anything we can do to collect data and to try to, you know, understand this phenomenon better, is we're better off to do that. I think it may be a minimal cost, and I understand that in tight budgets. But I think as we move forward, we're creating a tremendous number of veterans over the last decade, and we're going to create more. And they're going to be here in Oregon, and we're going to have these incidents, as was indicated by the Vietnam-era veterans. And I think anything we can do to try to understand that better and try to, you know, let people who really do do this kind of work and can kind of get inside of all this, then maybe we can find out solutions that we can help prevent it. We're going through a tremendous amount of effort in the Oregon National Guard right now to educate our commanders, to educate our leadership, to try to get a handle on this, because this is not something that we like. It's not something that the National Guard Bureau is just waving off as just something, a phenomenon. They're pushing us hard to get this done. We're spending extra time. We're spending extra money that the Bureau's given us to educate our people to look for these signals. So it is a big deal for us. It's a huge deal for us, and it should be for everybody. So I would highly recommend that the committee move the bill forward, because I think in the long term, in another 3 or 4 years, maybe we can get a better understanding of what's causing this. So I might add that it struck me that when I talked to the Department of Human Services that Oregon has the highest, if I recall correctly, and don't hold me to this, but if it isn't the highest, it's one of the top two or three in the nation of suicides. Not just veterans, but the largest number of those veterans in the Oregon, per capita, are veterans. So there's something, I don't know if it's the gray skies, it's the rain, it's the beauty of the place, we can't stand it, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But it certainly is a mystifying phenomenon that we're all trying to get our hands around. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any questions for the General? I think what we're experiencing here, General, is we don't even know what we don't even know. So how do you approach a problem if you don't know?
I would totally agree that it's we don't know what we don't know. That's a very good analogy.
Thank you, General.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to testify on House Bill 3611? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3611. Open up a public hearing on Senate Joint Memorial 3.
Senate Joint Memorial 3 urges Congress to mandate payment for treatment of military sexual trauma provided outside veterans' facilities. It urges Congress to require at least one experienced military sexual trauma counselor at each veterans' center.
I have Val Connolly. Welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Val Connolly, and I am the Women Veterans Coordinator for the State of Oregon, and I was also a member of the Legislative Task Force for Women Veterans Health Care. I am here today to support Senate Joint Memorial 3, urging Congress to pass legislation allowing victims of military sexual trauma to seek treatment where they choose at VA expense. The task force spent a great deal of time learning about military sexual trauma and its aftermath. The Army has called MST an epidemic, with 22% of women veterans stating they have experienced MST. An astounding 55% have experienced severe sexual harassment. MST is defined as physical assault of a sexual nature, battery of a sexual nature, or sexual harassment, which is repeated, unsolicited verbal or physical contact of a sexual nature which is threatening in character. This, which occurred while a veteran was serving on active duty or active duty for training. Both men and women experience military sexual trauma. According to a presentation by Marsha Hall, PhD, Women Veterans Coordinator at the Roseburg VA Healthcare System, the Portland VA had 858 cases of MST, Roseburg had 319 cases, and White City had 208 cases during 2009. For a number of reasons, experts believe that the majority of MST cases go unreported by both men and women, and the task force believes there are hundreds more men and women in Oregon who have experienced MST but have not reported it. MST has a severe effect on its victims. Many develop post-traumatic stress disorder. However, there are medical consequences as well, such as sleep disturbances, diabetes, chronic pain, gastrointestinal disorders, heart disease, asthma, other respiratory conditions, cancer, dissociation, memory loss, nonspecific immune system disorders, and more. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has very good processes for providing treatment to victims of MST. Once reported, a victim can receive free treatment at a vet center or at any VA hospital or clinic. However, for some victims, seeking treatment within the VA can be intimidating, especially women veterans who have been abused by a male and then see VA as a male-centric paramilitary organization. Because of the intensely emotional nature of MST, the task force believes that a victim of MST should be able to choose the provider with which he or she is comfortable and seek treatment from that provider at VA expense. Some victims are very comfortable with the VA clinicians. One such clinician, Sonia Fry, was a member of our task force. And she reports that she has a caseload of more than 100 veteran victims. However, other victims, especially older ones from previous generations of military service, may not be as comfortable. The goal of the task force is ensuring these victims are cared for, and if they would be more comfortable seeking treatment outside of the VA, we feel the VA still has a responsibility for these victims' needs. SJM3 simply asks Congress to pass legislation that mandates the VA pay for MST treatment, no matter where that treatment is provided. We believe the reason for this is self-evident given the nature of the crime. Thank you for your consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee?
Actually, I have one. Diabetes, how would that be a cause and effect?
Mr. Co-Chair, I don't know because I am not a medical specialist, but we had medical specialists on the task force who presented these diseases in association with MST.
Interesting. Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Anyone else would like to testify on Senate Joint Memorial 3? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Joint Memorial 3. Open up a work session on SJM 3. And I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move Senate Joint Memorial to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senate Joint Memorial 3?
Yes.
Chair Witt moves Senate Joint Memorial 3 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any comments? Seeing none. Any objection? Seeing none, so moved. I'll close the work session on Senate Joint Memorial 3, and I'll sign that to, weren't you on that, Representative?
I was not on that committee. I was on Reintegration Task Force, but I'm certainly prepared to carry the bill. They're the memorial, if you'd like.
Thank you, sir. Representative Matthews. Okay, I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Joint Memorial 12.
This is the one, James Parks.
And we have one person that's going to testify on this via telephone.
Is this Mr. Parks?
Yes.
Hi, Mr. Parks.
Yeah, Mr. Parks, this is Representative Esquivel up in Oregon at the Veterans Committee.
Yes.
And we have opened a public hearing on our Senate Joint Memorial 12, which is the adoption of the Veterans Remembered flag.
Thank you for doing that.
And you are in the queue to testify, so if you'll give your name and then give your testimony, it would be greatly appreciated.
And you're ready for that right now?
Yeah, we're waiting on pins and needles, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My name is James Layton Parks, a World War II Navy Chief Petty Officer from 39 to 46.
Wow.
My wife came from New York State, and I came from Minnesota. In our later years, we had a motorhome, and one of the things my wife liked to do was to visit cemeteries. We noted the great difference between the federal veteran cemeteries, both state and federal, where our veterans were given great honor. But that's only 13% of our veterans. We visited the other cemeteries, many of them, you would never know there was a veteran lying there, even though they might have done even greater things than those that were in the government cemeteries. We were trying to figure out what could be done that could be affordable for these small towns around the country and others to honor their veterans. And since the flag is something that is recognizable more than any other place, we just figured that we could come up with a flag. We had a prize-winning architect who designed the features for our veteran cemetery that we built here, and we took the flag from it. If you were to look at the flag that's on our website, you will note that it's a green field. This field stands for the burial ground. It's also a five-pointed star representing all five branches of our military service. Now, the star itself, a five-pointed star, is the Medal of Honor with, it has a ribbon around it. We took the ribbon off and straightened it and put the 13 original states on it. And in the center, we have a gold star representing those who actually were killed in action. So this flag represents not only the living, but also the ones who have passed on. And we think it would be a very appropriate thing to be at the gateway flying underneath our great American flag to tell people that this is a flag that is honoring those that are lying in their cemeteries. As you know, there's only 13% of our veterans are buried in these national and state cemeteries, so that over 80% are in these other cemeteries throughout the country. We would really like to see this flag was approved in the state of California by both houses without a single negative vote. It was also approved by the Navy Memorial in Washington, D.C., and if you noted on our webpage, you see that they even flew the flag in front of that memorial. It's also been approved by a total of 12 states. It was approved by the American Legion National State Convention of California 4 different times, and approved by the Veterans of Foreign Wars at a state convention once. And I have caught two posts throughout the country, and I have found only one post that said no to it. They all agree it'd be a great idea. We have some 23 million veterans. Of the 23 million veterans, about 2,400,000 belong to the largest veterans organization. The next one, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, have even less. Of that, only about 5% attend meetings. So this flag is representing all these other veterans besides those ones in the service organization. So it would be greatly appreciated by me and our committee, the Sonoma Veterans Memorial Park Association, if you could have this here approved so we have another state which we can put pressure on the United States Congress to give this honor to our veterans. And we would like to say, while some of us World War II veterans like myself are still around, if there's any other information I can give to you, I'd be very happy to. Just ask and I'll try to comply.
Well, thank you, sir. We shall now ask the committee for any questions or comments. Any questions or comments from the committee? Yeah, Representative Parrish.
Thank you. It's just more comment. Thank you for bringing this issue to our attention and for your service. As an Army wife, it does my heart proud to hear your story, and so thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Anything else?
I could not hear what he said.
Oh. I'll try it one more time. I said I just wanted to thank you for your service. And that I appreciate you bringing this forward. I'm an Army wife, and I appreciate what you're doing to honor our veterans. So thank you.
Okay.
Did you hear that, sir?
Yeah, but okay. He was positive.
Yes, she was. Thank you very much. And again, I would like to reiterate, we do appreciate your service, and we do appreciate what you do for veterans.
And like I've said before, if your the House approves that, and so the both of you approve it, I would like to have a copy of your resolution so I can have it in my stack of approval to help me in this quest to have this accomplished.
Sir, we'll ask our administrator to make sure that we have a parchment for you signed by the governor.
Okay.
Okay. Or I guess this would be signed by the Speaker of the House.
I'll call my sister and tell her when I get that. She lives in your great state.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Anyone else would like to comment and or testify on Senate Joint Memorial 12? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Joint Memorial 12, open up a work session on Senate Joint Memorial 12, and I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Joint Memorial 12 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Witt moves Senate Joint Memorial 12 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any comments? Representative Parrish.
I will only vote yes for this if I can carry it on the House floor.
Yes, sir.
Is that blackmail? What is that called?
That's called the last
persuasion.
Word.
Persuasion. That's the last word. I usually get that in my house, too. It's called yes, dear.
The last word.
Okay. Any other comments? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. I'll close the work session on Senate Joint Memorial 12. And Representative Parrish,
thank you.
We would be honored. Okay, next I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2848.
We need to adopt.
We have a
dash five. House Bill 2848 creates a medal for the next of kin of Oregon service members killed in action or as a result of wounds received in action while serving in Iraq or Afghanistan.
On this particular bill, we're up to our fifth amendment, and it's the difficulty we're having to put our arms and our hands around this bill is the name of what we shall call this. So we've kind of, through General Caldwell and the Adjutant General under the bus, we're going to let them figure it out and come back to us. So sorry, but that's our prerogative, General. And does everyone have the dash five amendments? Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the dash five amendments to House Bill 2848.
Chair Witt moves the dash five amendments to House Bill 2848. Any discussion? Any objection? So moved. I'll entertain a motion for the bill as amended.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2848 to the House floor House Bill 2848 as amended by the Dash 5 amendments to the House floor with a do pass recommendation.
Chair Witt moves House Bill 2848 as amendment to the House floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Matthews.
Just a brief comment. I just want to applaud you, Mr. Chair, and others on the committee that we're kind of puzzled by this. There's somewhat of a conflict on what would we do so we don't diminish the value of the current recipients and we actually find a way for Oregon as a state to recognize these well-deserving folks. And I think if these generals can't figure it out, well, by golly, then what are we going to do? But I think this is great. Instead of basically putting something to rest that wouldn't move, we have found a way to create something that is going to make a great deal of sense. So I applaud the efforts of the co-chairs. Thank you very much for your effort on that.
Any other comments? Representative Huffman.
Mr. Chair, so one of the purposes of the commission is to come up with an acceptable name. What line is that? I'm kind of missing where they're directed to come up with a name.
Yeah.
I see other things, and maybe I'm just missing it here because I hadn't read it thoroughly enough prior. Purpose of the commission is to create an Oregon Medal of Honor to be designated by the commission. The purpose of the medal is to honor the memory and sacrifice of Oregon service members who were killed in action or who died as a result of the wounds. The medal is awarded. The commission shall design, suggest appropriate ceremony. I guess I just want to make sure that they understand that they're to come up with an appropriate and acceptable name. You don't see it.
Well, and Representative Huffman, I kind of interpreted that back in number two, I think it was, is to create the medal. And maybe I misunderstood that, but that's kind of what I interpreted. That creation was to bring us a medal.
Follow up, Mr.
Yeah,
Chair.
Sure. But that's a good point.
I guess if I weren't privy to the previous conversation, that there was some concern surrounding the name. And I read this, I wouldn't get that I were to, I would name it the Oregon Medal of Honor based on this, because I don't see where.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, very good. Good catch. Representative Perry.
Yeah, I think that the standout here for me, you know, with the Dash 5, purpose of the commission is to create an Oregon Medal of Honor, and that's all caps. That has meaning, and you know, when you read it, that it to create an Oregon Medal of Honor, we're still in that same language. I mean, if you wanted to, hate to send it back again, purpose of the commission is to create a medal honoring Oregon soldiers or honoring soldiers and lower cap it and actually say what it's supposed to do and name it and designate a name. I think that would offer some clarity, but still, all caps recognizes it as a symbol of something.
Okay, am I correct to interpret what you're saying is on Section 2, the purpose of the commission is to create an Oregon medal to be designated by the commission, and then we would also insert in there to name and create an Oregon medal to be designated by the commission. Does that sound better?
Yeah.
And then we'll leave out the of honor, so it would be an Oregon medal.
And to that point, if I may, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
As you look at the history of the committee and the conversation we've had, we have gone from Oregon Medal of Honor to Oregon Distinguished Service to Oregon Legion of Merit to we've climbed through those hoops a couple different ways. And I think that, to your point, this would have the generals creating the medal and also the determination of what they designate that to be. I would see it that way.
Okay, then with the permission of the committee, shall we ask our fine administrator to go ahead and get a Dash 6 for next time. We'll hold this bill over, and then I will cross, and I will make the appropriate street and to name and create.
I think there's somebody. Who is Edward?
Pardon?
Edward works with...
Come on down.
Representative Hunt.
Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the committee, I'm Edward McClone from Representative Hunt's office. I sprinted down here, I heard the discussion, and was wondering if I could help answer any questions or allay any people's concerns. I left right. Representative Parrish, as you were speaking, so I'm afraid I missed your comments.
Mr. Chair.
So.
Well, I guess I'm happy to reiterate.
Hold up a second.
Yeah, of course.
Where's in this, from the meeting date on the 15th.
It was interesting that the information, the effect of the committee amendment for Dash 5 doesn't match the amendment. So that's kind of what gave me the heads up.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you. Good catch. What I think we're saying here is that, and first of all, identify yourself, if you would, please.
Oh, yeah. I'm Edward McLone. I work in the office of Representative Dave Hunt.
Okay. Edward, it appears that the amendment doesn't correspond with what our wishes were when we sent this back out.
And how is that so?
Well, if you read the number two, it says, and this is a good catch by Representative Huffman, is the purpose of the commission is to create an Oregon Medal of Honor and to be designated by the commission.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean the medal will be?
The intention of that was that the commission would be able to name the honor or the medal itself. As you may recall from our previous conversations, we have run into a relating to clause issue with this bill because the relating to clause is specifically relating to Oregon medals of honor in capital letters. We have spoken with Dexter Johnson in Legislative Council's office, and he's been helping us with the amendment process to try and avoid that. And so the way that he determined we needed to address this is in the bill still refer to it as an Oregon Medal of Honor and then designate it in other ways. So it would be called in the bill an Oregon Medal of Honor, but the award itself would actually be called something entirely different. As you'll see in the previous four amendments, we have referred to it as the Legion of Merit Award or other things, and the sentence still remains that an Oregon Medal of Honor, I'm just looking at the dash fours for fun, an Oregon Medal of Honor to be designated as, and then that's where we've been having the proper noun issues, I guess, if you will. And so instead, we requested in the amendment request that they allow for the Adjutant General's office to designate the Medal of Honor as they saw fit to get around the problem we've had with trying to create the perfect name for it.
Okay. Colleagues, I think we have a fork in the road here. And I know Yogi Berra said, just take it. But we want to go one way or the other on this. Now,
great American.
He was a great American. I would suggest, I don't know if it's the approval of this committee, the purpose of the commission is to name and create an Oregon Medal of Honor. That would allow that to be in the relating clause. But the intention, General, are you listening? The intention is to rename it. And if we said name and create, would that suffice? That's the question. If not, we're just going to kill the bill. So, how do you feel about that, folks? I'm looking at people that look like they're
chairman. I don't want to be a stick in the mud. I think it needs to spell out that they need to come up with a name that's appropriate. Designated, I don't have a thesaurus with me. I assume maybe you could extrapolate name out of designate, but I think it needs to be a little more clear.
But if we change that Oregon Medal of Honor, it won't go in the relating clause, so that we're kind of six of one, half done the other, so I don't know. You know, whatever this committee wants is okay with me, is what I'm saying. Okay.
I really want to move forward on a bill. I really want to create the bill, and I think that statements on the record here and statements on the record on the floor, following it to the Senate perhaps, might even suffice to get whatever's word. I understand what Mr. Johnson's saying, and I appreciate you running down in short notice, but I would like to see us be able to work through this. I understand we have to keep Oregon Medal of Honor titled to be determined and designated by the commission. Perhaps maybe that's what it is. Maybe that'll be the language solve that we come up with. I don't know if you have any thought on that language. Representative Hunt would be you know, objective to that, but I think something about titling it has to be there.
Mr. Chair, Representative Matthews, I think that Representative Hunt's primary goal is to pass something. And so whatever we need to do to, if we need to, I don't know, Jill, if it would be possible to hand engross an alternative or do something, and it looks like that's not an option. We would like to pass something out, and perhaps we can come back to it in the Senate and fix that as well if we've made quite clear our intentions. I think we'd be open to whatever it takes to pass this bill out.
Representative Parrish.
So the journalism student in me is, like, screaming with the capital letters here. And I guess the reason I say that is if we pass it out like this, even if it says name or whatever, media is going to pick this up and say, Oregon legislature creates an Oregon Medal of Honor, and that's how it's going to get sold out in the public. And I worry about what that means. I would certainly, and I get where the LC people, because I'd like it to, you know, Section 2 to take that out. Purpose of the committee is to create a medal honoring X. But if we can't because of the relating clause, I'd like to see this come back as a different bill.
Okay. Representative Boone, how do you feel about this? I think there's some valid points here. Co-Chair Witt, help me out here.
Mr. Chairman, I have to tell you that I think we've ridden this horse.
A long time.
So it's ragged. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's a time in a bill's life where we have had hearings and on five amendments now, and I believe that the spirit of this committee's wishes is clearly understood by the general, and I am fully confident that he would understand that this committee reads Oregon Medal of Honor to be a generic reference to a medal that will be created to honor our veterans, and I would be more than pleased with that understanding to see this bill move out of this committee today and on to the Senate, where if there were desires to have anything more specific than we have here today, to allow that to happen. But at some point it becomes almost embarrassing to ride this horse any harder. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parrish.
Can we get a firm determination from the legislative council people that, you know, the relating clause is what's giving us grief here? Because I'm not convinced that if we send it on to the Senate with a problem with the relating clause, that the Senate's going to be able to fix it either, because they're going to get the same answer that we got. And I'd be, again, willing to see this.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and close the work session on this bill, and you, young man, go down and get someone from legislative council to get back here as soon as possible.
Okay,
and
yes,
then
sir.
I will reopen the hearing. And if they say we're okay with it from our attorneys...
to take it out of the text.
Then I think we're okay. But if not...
Sorry, I mentioned it, sir.
Well, shoot it.
Chair Esquivel, if I may please clarify, are we attempting to get legislative council to confirm the need for the words Oregon Medal of Honor? I want to be sure of what I'm asking them to do.
We want to make sure that we don't pass this bill out and that someone that knows nothing about anything would come in and say, this would be the Oregon Medal of Honor, because that's not acceptable.
Correct. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will do that now.
Thank you. I'll close the hearing on 2848 on the work session, and I will open up a work session and on House Bill 3335.
House Bill 3335. House Bill 3335 requires State Parks and Recreations Commission to allow free use of state parks or individual campsites, including Yurt's Horse accessible campsites and days fee areas, to veterans for a certain number of calendar days per month. There's an amendment that the Dash 4 amendment specifically allows... the fee reduction to be limited to veterans who are returning home from active overseas combat zone deployment or make reservations within the first 90 days of having returned from overseas combat deployment to a total number of days of 10.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Colleagues, have you read and deciphered the dash 4 amendments? And what it is, we made the change on that because the fiscal would have been, it would have been a little sticky-wicky because you'd have had veterans basically having a complete tie-up of parks because there's a lot of veterans in the state of Oregon. So that's why we went to the 90-day within the theater and then a 10-day reservation part. So, any discussion on the bill, on the amendment?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, is there anybody from Parks here to comment on?
There is.
Yeah.
Would you step up, please?
If that would be okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Kyleen Stone. I'm an assistant director of the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. We worked with the committee administrator and with Representative Widener's office on this language, and essentially it's something we can live with. There is a fiscal still, but it's certainly not as significant as the larger population of veterans would have been.
So this is substantially less once we've pared this thing down?
Chair Esquivel, yes, it is.
I bet you that would have been a dandy, that other one.
It was very large.
So you see that the fiscal is between $162,000 and $364,000 for the biennium. So, any other comment on the, any questions?
Can I have one question of her? Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Means, Representative.
Just so that I understand how the program works, what is Furnace's proof of deployment for you to consider the fee waiver?
Chair Esquivel, Representative Matthews, we actually have some veteran fee waiver programs already, and we do work with the military department and the National Guard to get information from them about what documents they have that we would be able to use as that proof. So it would really be those documents, and I don't know it off the top of my head. But.
And follow up, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
So this bill doesn't require any additional documents for you to seek out? I mean, you're currently doing this now. You offer those waivers already, so this should be in line with what you're already doing.
Chair Esquivel, Representative Matthews, that is our understanding of that, and that information about their deployment is on those discharge papers.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? So we're doing it now, basically.
Chair Esquivel, we actually have a fee waiver program for disabled veterans right now. It doesn't cover all veterans, and it is just for a certain set of services that we offer. Primarily, it's just for camping in tent sites or RV sites, so it's not the broader yurts and cabins, and it doesn't waive our reservation fee also for
okay.
veterans.
And maybe I'm going astray here on what Representative Matthews was asking. But I guess my question is, how do you know that they've been in country in the last 90 days?
Maybe I'll defer to her answer.
So,
Representative Parrish, do you know the answer to
that? Well, I think I can help here. When Mark was deployed, of course, we get the sheet of orders that I can take to everybody from the doctor to, you know, take my kids out of country. And it's pretty clear that it's got dates and times and when they're expected to be back and all that. So that document is pretty clear about when people are in and out of country. And if you're talking about 90 days past that, you look at the end of the order date, you got 90 days. That's simple math of the calendar at that point, I think. So.
Okay, a lot has changed since I was in the military. They even have modern weapons.
And safe equipment.
And safe equipment. Thank you very much.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. Okay, I'll
thank you.
Accept a entertain a motion on the dash fours, wasn't it?
Dash fours.
The dash four amendment.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move the Dashboard amendments to House Bill 3335.
Representative Matthews moves adoption of the Dashboard amendments to House Bill 3335. Any discussion? Any objection? If none, seeing none, so moved. Entertain a motion.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I would make a motion that we move House Bill 3335 as amended to the floor. Actually, has subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Representative Matthews has moved House Bill 3335 as amendment to the House floor with a due pass recommendation with subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so moved. Okay, colleagues.
We have the fiscal now on 3208-6.
Well, we did get that.
Yeah, I just gave it to you.
On 3208?
3208-6.
Okay. Colleagues, we did receive a fiscal on House Bill 3208 on the dash 6 amendments that we had discussed. So I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 3208. Okay. Entertain a motion on the Dash 6 Amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Matthews.
I move for adoption of the Dash 6 Amendments to House Bill 3208.
Representative Matthews has moved the adoption of the Dash 6 Amendments to House Bill 3208. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so moved. Now I'll entertain a motion on the bill as amended.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3208 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Matthews moves House Bill 3208 as amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so moved. That will be Representative Girard, I believe, since it's his bill. Perfect. Did we get Legislative Council up here? Let's take a five-minute break here. Stand at ease for 5 minutes. We'll come back because I want to get this resolved one way or the other today. But I think
Say 32
just
nine?
Take it from the top.
Okay. We'll resume our Committee on Veterans Affairs. For the record, we'll carry over House Bill 3611, House Bill 2019, House Bill 2848, and House Bill 2243 to a work session. We will not be able to get anything out on that to make people more comfortable with that until next week on that bill we just had completed and talked about on that issue with the Medal of Honor, which would be 3209. I think that's what it was. No, it was 32. What was that?
2848.
So we are holding that over until next week. And if we have anything else that for the general good of the order?
I like how everybody wore matching ties today. I think that's just great.
Yeah, everybody did. Everybody except got the memo except you. So, should have known you'd be the only guy out of step.
I apologize.
Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and we'll adjourn the Veterans Committee for April 12th. Adjourn.
Nice work.